Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good evening, everyone. This is Candy Taylor Jeter, aka Single Mama Diva, and I am here to present my guest tonight, who is Danny Stockdale. He's a professional coach, an author, and motivational speaker. And Danny does some interesting work. He helps people get in touch with their lost dreams and finding their life's calling. And I've had the privilege of being able to speak with Danny, and I will say that he definitely has a presence that would make you want to allow him to help you do this. And I'll let you hear from him in just a moment. First of all, I would just like to, before we get started, give thanks to some of the previous guests that was on the show. We had we spoke with one of the guys that was very interesting, which was Mark Gibson, and he taught us about rest and relaxation. And then we spoke with Sheila, and she helped us embrace the power of apology. And that was very interesting. And coming up next week, we have Charlie Emery, and she'll be here speaking with us about tapping into some of our inner resources to kind of help us achieve certain goals that we may want to achieve. So we have some really good people that we can kind of sink our teeth into and get some great information out here. Denny, however, has touched something in me in particular because, as I explained to him, had gone through a few adjustments as far as figuring out what do I want to do, how do I want to do it, and you know, we do this in our lives, and we also do it in trying to help our children find out what they want to do. And even speaking with my mother and people who have retired, they're often looking for their purpose and what's next and things like that. So we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to let Denny have a little bit of this energy here, since this show is about what he has to offer. I also want you to take a look while he's speaking. Take a look at his book that I posted up on the site here on Blog Talk. It's called Conversations from the Neighborhood Ice Cream Shop, 8 Keys to Rediscovering Lost Dreams and Finding Your Life's Calling. I thought that title was very interesting. And as I let Denny in, I want him to explain how he came up with the title of his book, and we'll get to all of that, but I'm really excited to have him here. Hello, Denny, are you there?
I'm here, thank you.
How are you? Welcome.
Well, thank you. And Candy, thanks for having me on. This is very exciting to be talking with you. On Blog Talk. And so you're wondering how I came up with the title for that book.
Yes, it's very interesting.
Yeah, actually, it just came to me when I started writing the book. It came out totally different than I ever thought it was going to. Originally, I've got a series of acronyms in the book, 8 acronyms, which are one-word life lessons. And I thought they'd be a series of essays. And when I started writing the book, it actually came out as a story. And one of the settings in the story, or the primary setting, was a neighborhood ice cream shop. And one of the characters owned that, and they were having conversations. So the title just kind of flowed out.
Wow.
Conversations from the Neighborhood Ice Cream Shop. And then the subtitle actually says what the book's really about, you know, the 8 keys to rediscovering lost dreams and finding your life's calling.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what writing's all about, though? It's amazing how it never really turns out to be what you think it's going to be. That's how you know you really have something special, because if you sit down and you say, I'm going to write this, and this ends up being this, you're not really letting the writing carry you where it needs to go. You're trying to control it. But when you just let it flow and it turns into something that even inspires you as the writer, and you're looking at it and you're saying, wow, this is feeding me. I hope everybody else enjoys it, you know.
Yeah, well, I know you did that probably with your first book too, didn't you?
I did. It started out as a journal. I never journal, and I decided I would sit down and just kind of write and start journaling, and it just came up with 25 thoughts about your destiny, because I was thinking about my own destiny. And to be honest with you, my first thought was to entitle it Life Lessons, and it didn't turn out like that. When you said that, it reminded me of that.
Yeah, one of these days I want to get a copy of that book from you.
Yeah, we'll have to trade copies. I definitely am going to send you that. But can you tell me how you ended up being inspired to even write the book? What inspired you?
Well, what inspired me back in the mid-'80s, I was going through a lot of self-discovery and changes in my life, and actually started creating acronyms. I self-published a little book of acronyms back in the probably 86 or 87 as a little giveaway. I didn't have anything else to give, but I had this little book that I printed at Kinko's with 80 acronyms, and I printed up 50 copies as Christmas presents. And I always knew
I love acronyms.
Yeah,
I love acronyms. We didn't discuss this when we talked the other day, and I don't want to make it seem like I'm saying, you know, me too, but I really do love acronyms. So I want you to share that with me too. But go ahead.
Okay. Right. Well, we can talk a little bit more about the acronyms and really how they impact my life and those of the people that are listening too, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, back to the quick little story here. I created that booklet. And I always knew I'd do something with a major portion of those acronyms. And then about 5 years ago, I got involved with a product development course, and I was challenged by my team leader to really write the book that I'd been thinking about for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this dream of making a difference and getting the book done, and then I sat down and in a couple of weekends got a rough draft. Put together. So that's a little bit of the history of the book and how it came about. And you know, I was inspired really to do this because I think that there's a lot of people that might read self-help books, but those are more like textbooks. And something
right.
with a little story behind it, I think, can actually be entertaining as well as inspirational.
Right.
So that's a little bit about the book there.
So you just returned from a national tour in support of your book. I've always kind of thought about how do you get started doing that? What inspired you to take that risk?
Well, that's a great question, Candy. Thanks. Part of it was in Minnesota, it gets really cold in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, part of it, I wanted to be out of Minnesota for a change. I've been living here a number of years. But a big part of it is I think there's a lot of people that can benefit from the messages in my book. In my travels, I've discovered that a lot of people have really lost touch with their dreams. So that's part of what inspired me to get out and, you know, take the risk myself. Another big piece of it is I wrote the book. Now I have to live the principles that I wrote about.
Right, right. Do you ever pick it up and look at it? And sometimes it gets a little heavy and you say, wow, I need to go back and examine that for myself.
Yeah, I actually do. And the first chapter is faith, find answers in the heart, which is really about helping people take a look at what they believe about themselves,
mm-hmm.
what beliefs they've learned along the way that may not be serving them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I still carry beliefs from lessons I've learned over the years I've been on this earth that may not be in my best interest. So if I can identify where those came from, I can actually shift my thinking a little bit and start to think, okay, that belief isn't serving me. What would?
Right.
In chapter one, I also take a look at values. And if people really know what's most important to them, then they can make better decisions and find a lot more peace and joy and happiness throughout their life.
Mm-hmm.
I know through my educational process, sometimes I was taught to be a little more conforming and not necessarily to identify my strengths. One of my strengths in school was mathematics, but I didn't do my homework.
Right.
So,
Think it was because you weren't inspired?
Well, I probably wasn't inspired, and I also thought, I already know this. So why do I have to go back and relearn it?
Right.
I think when I take a look at where my beliefs are now and what I really truly believe about myself and about others, that, we can all live into our strengths a lot more and
mm-hmm.
into our passions.
Mm-hmm. Now, what makes your approach to life calling different and unique?
Well, I think it's primarily the acronyms, because they're so memorable.
Mm-hmm.
The last chapter in the book is CALL, Create a Living Legacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, over the years I've been in a lot of workshops where they have us write our obituary or what they're going to say at our death. I take a slightly different turn on that. I like to think of writing what do we want to be remembered for from this point forward, and
right.
how are we going to live that out?
Mm-hmm.
So, that approach is a little different than some of the normal approaches or some of the other traditional approaches that I've been familiar with over the years. Another thing,
right.
too, we all have bumps in life, and chapter 4 in my book actually talks a little bit about that, even though it's a story form. There's some tips in there, and that's hope. Hold on to peak experiences.
Wow.
When things get rough, I need to go back and take a look at what were my peak experiences, what lessons did I learn, where did those come from, and how it'll give me strength to make it through this difficult situation again this time. And I know there's going to be another peak.
Hmm. That sounds really, really good. I like that. Hope, hold on to peak experiences. And when you think about what, have you recognized or seen a pattern in what usually deters people from their goals or their dreams and fulfilling their purpose and their destiny? Do you see certain things consistently come up?
Yeah, Candy, I do. Some people try to, or actually, I think a lot of people do forget that they have dreams. I know when I was traveling through the southern states on the tour I was on, I ran across a few a lot of people, really, who had lost touch with their dreams. There was one man in particular who was in his early 60s, and he said, you know, I just don't have any dreams anymore. And I challenge that because I believe that we've all got dreams. What we've lost is the ability to think we can make those dreams come true.
Right.
You know, and I know you're working real hard in your life to really make a difference and make some of your dreams come true. And, you know, that's so honorable when that happens. I told this particular man that if I worked with him for a while, we'd be able to uncover those dreams and identify action steps to help him pursue those.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one thing. People lose track of their dreams. Secondly, they lose track of the ability to believe that they can make those come true. If they break through those two barriers, there's a third step that people really get stuck on, and that's action.
I wonder why that is. How much of fear do you think plays into that? Are we sometimes paralyzed by what may or may not happen if we pursue these dreams? Will we be let down? Will we have support? You know, all those things kind of resonate in my mind when we speak of action. You know, when you say action, even when you hear people on movies say the word action, you know, it kind of wakes you up like, oh, my God, am I ready, you know?
Oh, yeah. 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 And you know, there is a fear factor that enters into it. And I think having faith can help overcome that. But, you know, instead of taking a big action like going on a national tour, an author may line up book signings in their own backyard. Or, you know, if somebody wanted to sample a new career, instead of jumping full force into it, they might volunteer or do informational interviews. So there's actions they could take to actually start breaking down some of that fear.
Right.
I've got a saying on above my desk, faith is walking to the edge of all you have and taking one more step.
Wow. Feels like that's what I've been doing in my workouts. And it's
funny
because it's like everything that you do, from parenting to keeping your body together to working on your dream or job or whatever it is, it's like if you don't break the plateau or crack the glass ceiling or do something that causes a breakthrough, that even if you're doing well, you know, you hear of a lot of people that say, I'm doing well and I'm successful in every sense of the word, but something is missing. And sometimes it's usually that you're just comfortable and maybe there's another level that you're supposed to be at. Sometimes we outgrow where we are. And I think success and reaching your dreams is all about continuing to grow and not ever really feeling like I have arrived. You know, everybody thinks you're going to have this feeling like, oh, I'm done. And you're really never done.
That's exactly right. That's yeah. You mentioned something a few minutes ago, too, and support. And I'm really big on breaking the isolation and reaching out to others for help. And,
right.
That's another thing that I discovered across the country and even in my own backyard, that a lot of people really don't take the risk or find people they can connect with and have courageous conversations with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about their life, about their dreams, about their destiny, if you will.
Right. A lot of the times it can be kind of scary to share that. with people because you don't, that's like sharing your baby. You don't really know what someone's going to do with it. And I think that when you find someone that you really trust to be able to confide in about your dreams and your hopes and fears and things like that, it just, it makes it a lot easier to deal with. So what suggestions do you have that might help others that are listening in or that may even archive this show later and may want to capitalize on some of the things that you're sharing?
Well, from a support standpoint, if people are out of work, there's a lot of job groups where they can go and find people in similar situations. Some of those turn into, unfortunately, they turn into what I would call a pity party. But they can break through that if they start looking at solutions and trying to come up with answers for each other. So with a support group, in the workshops and the work I do, I have people actually list the people in their lives. And I break people into two categories, basically, benefactors or detractors.
Mm-hmm.
And benefactors are those people that really lift us up or encourage us. And the detractors are the ones that we have to deal with once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage people to really reach out to the benefactors. And, you know, it's very risky sitting down and saying, you know, I really trust your opinion, and this is something I'm going through, and I'd really like to talk to you about it.
Right.
And that can be really scary, but the person on the other end that hears that is usually, 99% of the time, is deeply honored. And that's been my experience from my support groups. So that's one thing that people can do. As a writer, I write my thoughts out, and I write every day for at least 10 minutes a day. I've developed a habit of doing that. 99% of that stuff I'd throw out. I'd never share with anybody. But if I don't have somebody immediately that I can turn to, I can start journaling like you did. And I have a sense that your journal probably was a lot more positive than some of mine have been.
I don't think so, because it was during a period that wasn't very positive. So it was very reflective of what I was going through at the time. However, it turned out very positive. Some things you share, some things you just can't share, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know that. You know, I think one of the main things for people that may feel stuck or may not think they can make their dreams come true is really look for solutions, little steps. To become a writer, a lot of people ask me about writing, and I say a writer writes. It's that simple.
Right.
They write poorly at first, and then they learn how to go back and edit and rewrite and take the work they've done and learn from that. But I think one of the big things, like we talked about a few minutes ago, is really taking some steps forward.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope that helps some of the people out there.
Right, and it can be kind of lonely because a lot of the times when you're taking steps forward, you're leaving people behind. People who may not understand what you're doing or people who are not supportive, people who may feel like you should be doing something else. Almost everything that I got ready to do was always, it always had someone involved that was not for it. Now, luckily for me, it wasn't necessarily the closest people to me, but it doesn't have to be really anybody close to you for it to affect you or make you think twice about what you're doing, you know, because even in going back to school, people would say, well, are you sure you're going to have time? Well, you know, you have kids and you just became a single parent. And, you know, they would bring up these things. And a lot of the times people think they're helping you by helping you, you know, fish through all of the possible pitfalls. But you're hearing it in a totally different way. You're hearing it as though they're saying, you know, you can't do it. And this is in the beginning of you trying to live your purpose. But I notice as you get really deep into it and you constantly have to go up these different levels, those voices get smaller and smaller and smaller. So like you said, taking that initial step and being able to handle those louder negative voices, I think is like the main thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've still got my English teachers talking to me, telling me I can never write a book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If my English teachers read my book, I'm pretty sure. Matter of fact, I took it and I boxed it up and sent it to three of my professors as a gift.
Uh-huh.
And I'm cringing as to what they may think about some of the ways that I put things together, because it's more of an inspirational book, and you're thinking, you really just want your listeners, your readers, to understand you, and thinking about all of the grammatical correctness can sometimes pull the spirit out of things, and that's in whatever we do. If you're singing, if you're dancing, if you're writing, you know, it's always good to know how to do it the right way. But in the beginning, I mean, after you get it, it's like some of those things you just have to let go of if you want to really live who you are.
Absolutely. And one of the things, you know, I keep coming back to support networks, but people taking a stand for us. In that course 5 years ago that I was in, if my team leader hadn't taken a stand and said, Benny, you got to do what you came to do. And I remember my body reaction. I was just cringing at the time and thinking, how am I ever going to do this? You know, it's
right.
My dream. I've dreamed about this for 20 years. If I do this, you know, it's so risky and so scary. But, you know, he stayed with me and kept encouraging me. And I wouldn't know him if he walked in the room. This was on a virtual call.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I still remember that very clearly. And so, you know, like you talked about, sometimes family members or even friends might try to challenge our dream or ask us, you know, does that really make sense?
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, I think sometimes we have to turn to professionals, coaches, or others, maybe somebody in a church,
exactly,
that we can sit down and have a talk with, someone who will take a stand for us and take a stand
mm-hmm.
for our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's
that
been my...
true.
Yeah, and that's what this guy did 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm doing for others now. There was a woman in a seminar I was at on Saturday, and she's been working with information technology for most of her lifetime because her parents wanted her to be an engineer. She comes from a family of engineers. Her passion is to write.
Okay. So did she go into the field of computer technology, computer engineering?
She did. And she's still
okay.
In there.
Well, you know, that actually could work in her favor. We're in the age of information, and the computer is just a highway to information. And if she wants to write, she can link those two things together and live her dream out that way. being miles ahead in technology, you know, more so than someone like you or me who had no clue about technology. I didn't until a few years ago.
Yeah, I actually came from a programming background, and for years I dabbled in my dream to break through into training and public speaking and workshop facilitation. And I actually taught college for about 8 years back in the mid during the 90s.
But look how you can use that now to get your message out. Even though technology changes so much, it changes so quickly, still to have that knowledge to be able to get your message out. And now when you see people who have things that they want to do, they want to write, they want to help people, other people live out their dreams, like what you're doing, me wanting to help single moms and things like that. When you look at how valuable the computer is and the fact that you have teaching experience and that I'm in adult education, those things all really work together. Because I remember with my son saying, wanting to know what he wanted to do, not mentioned this before on another show, but this keeps coming up with people trying to figure out in all ages or all stages of their lives, you know, what are they meant to do? And I remember when he said he wanted to be a barber, but he also liked, you know, working with building things and mechanical things. And we did talk about engineering. He likes mixing things. We talked about chemical engineering. And I said, just think, what if you went into chemical engineering and you made money and you did well and you learned what you could learn, and then you came out and you opened up a barbershop and mixed up your own line of products and sold it? You know, you're still living your dream, you know, teaching people how to take things that they think they don't like to do or that they think is drudgery, piecing it together and stringing it along and actually tying it to their dream is also a good way, I think, to make people feel like they're not wasting their time, because nothing is really a waste, is it?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Right.
You know, even through my programming career, I was able to find outlets for my passion to make a difference for others through teaching. And I also married a single mom and became a dad and raised a child. And so, you know, that was, sometimes we have to prioritize our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to raise my daughter was a huge dream of mine, and fortunately she's turned out really well.
Oh, that's great. We'll have to talk about that. I'll have to have you on. And you might want to share some of those experiences about blending families, because I do have a lot of single moms who are dating and looking for, you know, Mr. Right, and a lot of them, a lot of their relationships that come to dead ends are usually because they can't find the one that actually is not necessarily that they're not a match for them, but not a match for their child, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really good that you guys were able to pull that together like that.
Yeah, we've done pretty well. I met my daughter when she was 6 years old, and so I'm the only dad she's ever had, which I'm thrilled about, and also I'd like for her to have a chance to go back and meet her real father sometime. But
right.
Yeah, like you said, that's probably another show that we could be on.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Now, what type of workshops do you offer? Can you give me just a sketch, a mental sketch, as to how your workshops go and what you try to accomplish? What are your objectives and goals in your workshop?
Well, my objectives and goals are really to have people take two or three ideas that really fit for them that they can start using right away that will shift their life in small degrees to start with, that a year out will make a huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I take two paths, or if I draw a line of two lines on a piece of paper, if I start one line on a piece of paper and then I draw another line off from that, at first there's a little bit of difference. There's really not much difference between the two lines. But as I draw them out farther, the gap is bigger. So in my workshops, I try to provide information and tools and exercises for people to really take a look at where they are now and where they want to go. One of the big pieces is values. And, you know, we all hear that term a lot probably. And I think even in dating situations for the single moms, sometimes they may take a look at their value systems and realize that a particular individual doesn't necessarily make it for their kids, so they end the relationship. So being real clear about what's most important to you or to individuals. One of the exercises I do around values is have people, like I said, write down some of the words that are most important to them, then write a paragraph about the meaning of that word. And then in my wallet, I carry a little index card with my top five or six values. So that's a big piece of the workshops that I do. It's highly interactive, very reflective. What action steps can people start taking?
Mm-hmm.
Make a list of their top five or ten dreams and then read those frequently.
Right.
You know, some of my values are like collaboration. I believe in working together. I find so many people in isolation that just need somebody that they can turn to and talk with.
Right. Collaborative learning is definitely a powerful tool, even if you don't feel like it. Sometimes you feel like, now I don't want to do that with anybody else. I kind of want to do it by myself. And then it's amazing how you can get with people and stuff just starts coming up that you never would have come up with on your own. I don't care. Now I know that initially I'm an introvert. So I draw a lot of my ideas alone, and I need to be alone in order to brainstorm properly just to make sure that my ideas are my own and not influenced by anyone else. But I notice that when I get ready to actually implement something, I always have to collaborate with someone else. And it may not be true for everyone, but I've noticed that with me and even other people that I've met, it just so happens that we've all been looking for a collaborative force to join with in order to complete what it is that we would like to put forth, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of things that people can do. There's a lot of activities and exercises. Sometimes I just need to stop and take a breath and find out what energizes me.
Right.
One of the things that I talk about in my workshops and in my book, too, is an exercise called Date Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Where you take yourself out for like a scoop of ice cream or treat yourself to a massage, or, you know, for some of us that may be limited on budgets, go for a walk around a lake or through a park or, you know, go for a little drive in the country or wherever. You know, there's a lot of different things that we can do to just kind of unwind and get away from the busyness of life sometimes.
Right. Speaking of budget, how do you, or do you run into that a lot where people are, because most of the time when people are motivated to do something is usually because they're either not satisfied with what they're doing or they're not satisfied with how their bank account looks. And, you know, getting people started and motivated to live their dreams when they have no money, what do you suggest for that?
That's a great question, Candy. And what I suggest is that they really identify what the dream is and then identify actions that they can take. You know, we get back to the action piece, that they can take that don't necessarily cost any money. Sometimes it's a matter of taking a risk. Like if I wanted to go back to school and I didn't have the resources to do that, I might start by working a part-time job, an additional part-time job, and taking one course per week. Or maybe I could audit courses. The public library system is a remarkable way to go, too. And I read a lot of books and get a lot of stuff from the library, which is absolutely free. So even if I didn't have the resources to go to school, if I have a passion to learn more about, for example, in my case, more about helping others and helping them live their dream, I can go to the library and find a ton of books on that. If I wanted to learn how to be a barber, like your son is thinking about, I could go and probably find some books on barbering. And I could also hang around barber shops and get to know some of the barbers and what's it really like and talk with them. I think once we set our dreams in motion, that the resources will come to us that we need to make those dreams come true.
I totally agree with that. I have seen that happen so many times where when you work where you are with what you have, it builds to something and you don't even realize it's building. You're still thinking, wow, if you're not careful, you miss the whole being gracious aspect of it because you're thinking, wow, I'm still on a shoestring budget or I don't have the money to do this or I don't have the money to do that, and not realizing when you look down how far you've actually climbed up, because sometimes we're always looking up and we're looking at where we haven't reached yet, and we always have this feeling of, oh, I don't have enough to do that. But when you look down and look at where you started and where you are, you're like, wow, but I did this and I did that and I did the other. And you start really counting how many steps you've actually taken and how your resources were supplied. And you can't even find it on paper. You can't even look to a budget or look at the books and say, oh, well, I had $1,000 here to invest in the business, and I took $200 there. It's not even there because it was something that was supplied to you, and sometimes you don't even know where it came from.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
isn't that something, how the universe does that?
Oh, it is. It is, and you know, that gets back to the hope piece that, and you mentioned the don't haves. And, you know, I can dwell on what I don't have, or I can dwell on what I do have. And you've probably heard the phrase, and hopefully a lot of the people listening have heard this too, that what we focus on expands.
Right.
So, like you're talking about, and like I mentioned with my acronym HOPE, hold on to peak experiences. If people really hold on to those peak experiences, and start looking at what they do have, and I think you described it just so beautifully. you know, when they do have what they do have, then more of what they have will be coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
And another piece that I was thinking too was the art of appreciation. You know, some of my most difficult times, when I look back 6 months or a year later, I really appreciate going through those difficult times because it caused me to take a look at where I was and how I can shift my life and move forward.
And it causes you to be more creative. It's like, you know, when you have difficult times, and you have to pull a rabbit out of a hat in the midst of chaos or something going on or an impossible, seemingly impossible situation, you would have never come up with that idea if ideal circumstances were in place at that moment. You know, it's like you come up with something that's not even really obvious to you until after the fact, and you look at it and you say, wow, I would have never thought of that had it not been for this particular context in which I was forced to do that in, you know.
Mhm. Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, we've talked a lot about context and things like that, but. As I reflect, the art of appreciation, just being thankful.
Being thankful, yeah.
Being thankful for all the circumstances. And I know I was talking with a woman in Florida here about a month ago who was, her hours had been cut and her economic situation was pretty tight. And she was afraid to call the bank. This was one of her big things. She was afraid to call the bank and talk to them about her situation because she thought they might say no. But then through talking to her, I convinced her to at least take the risk, because if they say no, then she knows exactly where she stands.
Mm-hmm.
And to appreciate that she can make that phone call, and actually they said yes, that she could renegotiate her mortgage. And, you know, by taking the risk and being proactive, she was able to start turning her situation around.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even with the lack of money, you know, I'm taking some risks myself, leaving a 25-year career in information technology to pursue my passion, to really get around the country and make a difference with what I'm doing.
Right.
And there are some risks involved with that, but what I'm finding is the relationships that I'm establishing will carry me through almost anything that I would have to face.
Mm-hmm.
That and a lot of faith along the way, you know, in spirit or whatever's out there.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does require faith in yourself and what has already been created in us. A lot of the time, like I tell a lot of people, you know, when you speak of prayer, it's so simple. It's not this complicated thing that we've made it. It awakens stuff and power, and it awakens all of the resources within us that's already there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to one of my friends, Dora, who also has a radio show, and her guest was talking about how she was looking for a life coach. And she said she was just walking in the park, and she just screamed out to the universe, "I need a coach, you know, I need a coach."
Uh-huh.
She said, and that was all she said. She said, and it didn't dawn on her that that was actually a prayer until she found Dora, who does coaching as well, and they started a coaching relationship. And she said she realized, wow, and remembered and tied it to how she just screamed that out to the universe and to God, and how she just automatically, you know, found who she was looking for. And sometimes it's just an awakening. It's a process of awakening, you know.
Yeah, you asked earlier what I do in my workshops, and that's one of the things, too. I try to wake people up. On the intro to my book, I start with wake up, life's calling. And
mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily throwing the covers off right away, but just starting to listen to that voice. You know, the awakening, the awareness. If people really start listening to their heart or what they love, and start thinking about that, that's a major step for some of us. And it may take 20 years, like it did for me, to get things out on paper for
mm-hmm.
somebody to really step out. But, you know, I believe that when people really do that, they'll be much happier with their lives. In my case, you know, I could go back and work in information technology and make more money than I'm making right now, but I wouldn't have the same happiness. And I was pretty
right.
happy with my last consulting contract.
That's really good. That says a lot, Denny. That says a lot, you know, when you're able to walk away from that and still say there's something more that you know that you're supposed to be doing.
Yep.
And can you tell me what it is about your teleconference seminars? I love teleconference seminars because you don't really have to go anywhere, and I want to get to that because, you know, we only have about 10 minutes left. We have like exactly 9 minutes. And
okay.
I want you to tell me about your teleconference seminars. I'm kind of excited about that.
Okay. Well, cool. Thank you. The teleconference is actually, it's in development right now, but it's going to be taking some of the principles from the book and the other resources that I've got to really help people dig in deeper. And what I'm envisioning is having like a call once a week where we can call
mm-hmm.
in, and we'll have a check-in period where we talk about what we did over the last week. And we'll also see if there's any burning issues for the people there. And then I'll have a lesson for about probably 15 or 20 minutes. And then we'll have some activities and questions around the lesson. And, again, the lessons would be based upon the book, like faith, find answers in the heart. But, you know, maybe talking about beliefs and how do we shatter some of the beliefs that don't serve us.
Mm-hmm.
How do we break through to the other side?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we, like this lady I talked with on Saturday, her whole family wants her to stay in the role of an engineer. How does she break through to become a writer?
Mm-hmm.
And also gain her family's respect and support through that process. You know, so those are some of the types of topics that would come up that we would address. And with my experience through living and a lot of the professional associations I've been with, I've got a lot of ideas and creativity around how to break through some of those. So that's really what's going to be happening on the teleconferences. I'm envisioning probably an 8 to 10 week course, and they would be recorded for the people that are participating in there. So if somebody missed a particular week, then they could come back and listen to that recording. During that time, I also would offer unlimited email support.
Right.
And I find even with I've got two or three coaches that I work with, sometimes I'll shoot them a quick question and get a quick response back.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And for those that needed it, you know, there could be like maybe 5 or 10 minute laser coaching sessions. I had one with somebody yesterday who went on a job interview today, and he was wondering about his weaknesses and how to handle the question that comes up in interviews, what's your weakness?
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested he take that and turn it around into a strength by repositioning the story and then telling a little bit about that. So, you know, those are some of the types of things that would come up in a teleconference. What are the goals that people want to accomplish, and how can I help them get there? You know, and
now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, and you know, sometimes taking the big goal like writing a book and chunking it down into manageable activities. And one of the big things that I like to offer, and that I believe I'm very good at, is encouragement.
Right. I can hear that, definitely so, yeah, because I was encouraged after we had our conversation on the phone the other day. And, yes, you do have a very encouraging spirit.
Yeah, thank you. Takes one to know one.
Thanks. I'm going to give the listening audience your email address. You can reach Denny at www.dennystockdale, that's STOCKDALE.com. He also has a email address, and it's denny@dennystockdale.com. That should be easy to remember. And I see here where you have free contests and prizes and things that tonight's listeners can enter. Do you have things listed on your website? Because I didn't see that, and I didn't know whether to direct them to that.
Yeah, actually, there's a little button for this month's contest, but if they click on the button for blog on my website, it'll take them to my dennystockdale.com/conversations, which is more of a blog format, and I actually ran my first contest 2 months ago, which was the 2010 Big Dreams Contest.
Wow.
And I gave away a $25 gift certificate to somebody's favorite ice cream shop.
Oh, man.
And the people entered their three big dreams. I had four that I listed. And people
mm-hmm.
entered those, and even if they didn't win the gift certificate, just by thinking of their dreams, they won. And
right.
The current contest is a Name Your Own Contest.
Mm-hmm.
And
Name your own contest.
Yeah, what kind of contest would you like to see me run? And,
right.
I actually have two prizes this month. Every month I do a drawing for a $25 gift certificate. This month I'm also going to have a survey on May 15th of all the contest suggestions, and we'll have a vote on those and see which one gets another $25 gift certificate. So the odds are really good for a lot of people. And
well, Denny, we will have to have you back on so that you can keep us updated on the things that you are doing, because I want to be able to direct people to you who may need some of the services that you have. And we're going to have to close the show, but we don't have to say goodbye, because I definitely will plan and fit you in the schedule. And once you keep, especially when you get ready to launch your teleconferences and things like that. And I want to thank you for sharing with us and sharing your spirit. And I just want to say to my listeners, reconstruct the world by reconstructing your mind. I know you can do it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Candy. You rock.
Okay. And I'll talk with you later, Denny.
All right.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.